Topic of the friends. So I'm trying to find her on her text here, which I don't know why this doesn't work. This. There's two aspects to our interaction with people. There are two types that we should be familiar with as practitioners upon the Mahayana path. The first aspect is that of choosing the proper people for friends and shying away from those that aren't proper. So, if we look at this one first, the way that we investigate or the way that we judge somebody to be a proper friend or a companion to us is that in their activities of body, speech, and mind, they promote towards us our goal of the path. So we're not talking about the Hinayana path. We're not attempting to find the state of nirvana or the freedom from emotionalism, which of course is very important, but our ultimate goal is to become fully enlightened for the benefit of all sentient beings, to be able to lead them to that same exact state. That means that the people that we are hanging out with should also promote us on that path. This is very important because there is the teaching that we are not stronger than our environment. No individual is. And since we are the ones that are in control of creating that environment, i.e. who we're going to have as friends or not friends, that is our mission, and that is our charge, is to create the proper environment. If we create the environment that is not beneficial to our accomplishing or accomplishment of the path, we're not going to have any. In fact, it's going to lead us the other way from it. It's going to lead us away from our actual goals. And we will spend a tremendous amount of time in what the Buddha calls frivolous activity. We'll engage in things that are entirely meaningless. Now, I don't mean that we just are going to give all of that up and we're always going to be in a constant state of practice. That's not exactly what I'm saying. But even if, with a proper friend, you're going to go to the beach or you're going to go to a movie or you're going to go do some kind of activity like this, there is still an air or a perfuming of Dharma and practice in that. There's still some connection to three jewels, Buddha, Dharma, the Sangha, somehow in there. This then supports or gives us encouragement to accomplish our goals on the path. And it makes it easy to be mutual. So then we give the same thing back to our friend. We give them the encouragement needed And that encouragement is not always verbal. Sometimes it's just as simple as you're just hanging out together and not behaving poorly. Sometimes that's all that's really needed. Those of you that are vegetarian or attempting to become vegetarian, it's helpful when you go out with someone who is already established in their vegetarian practice. Because when you go to the restaurant, if they order first, you'll see that they are going to shy away from all those things that are animal product. And it makes it easy for us to follow suit. But if we're really trying to accomplish a vegetarian diet, and we go with a friend, and the friend is like, oh yeah, I'm going to have the short ribs, and I'm going to, you know, have I want a bourbon and seven, and bacon on the side, and, you know, they just are going off on this other direction, it would make it very hard for us to go, yeah, wow, looking at that, the salads don't look very exciting, right? Or maybe the vegetarian dish is not quite as appealing, and it makes it more difficult. Or if it's just a matter of where would you like to go and eat, and they say, oh, let's go down to my burger over here, and we can get, you know, some cheeseburgers, versus, yeah, let's go over to this great vegan place right down the street. I mean, how can you go wrong if your friend says, yeah, let's go to the vegan restaurant? There's nothing in there that can mess you up. Right? Makes it very easy to accomplish the goals of your path. That's what I mean by being an encouragement. They're not twisting your arm. They just recommend it, and you go, sure, I'll go along with that. And you get there, and the whole thing's already simple. Even in your mind, you're thinking, man, I would really want the meat right now. And you get there and they say, well, you should try the chorizo bowl. It's made with vegan chorizo. Holy cow, it's great! Very simple. Easy practice. No problem. So we are to analyze the people that we're hanging out with. Which way do they cause us to lean? Do we lean towards those things that are beneficial to us on our path? Or do they cause us to lean towards the ways that we're trying to actually get away from? I know when I came out of the monastery, of course, a lot of my friends, well, not a lot, most of them didn't want anything to do with me. But there were a few that were very excited that, you know, I was back out in society and wanted to see me. But right away, hanging out with them was terrifying because it was, you know, they were, you know, their aggressive lifestyle and things like this was really difficult to be around, having done all that training. And for most of them, I think in all reality, I only have maybe one or two friends that are still kind of around, although I have little contact with them, but I still consider them to be friends, from that time before doing all of my training. Again, a lot of them didn't want anything to do with me, and sometimes that happens. So if you have a friend and you say, yeah, I'm actually, I don't want to go to a burger place because I'm trying to practice this vegetarian thing, they might give you a hard time, which is good, because then that's a karmic result, and so you can chalk that off, that I received my karmic retribution for being slighted for this practice. That's great. And then, you know, they might not be so keen into hanging out with you when it comes to food. And you'll notice that if they're going to do a barbecue or something like that in the summer, they might be a little bit hesitant to invite you. Or they invite you with one of those clauses, you know, well, we're going to be serving meat. Which, if you want, that's your way of saying, yeah, no, and I don't want to make anything difficult, so thanks for the invite, but I'll pass. You don't have to. In whatever the situation, you don't just immediately tell them you're fired. You're not my friend anymore, I don't like you because you make me do terrible things. Then you don't want to do that. There's better ways of going about making some space between yourself and somebody who's maybe not so beneficial. This is how we work with the situation with friends. So for those that we want to confide in and we really want as close friends, we need to make sure that they are going to be beneficial and supportive for our attaining the goal. Now, does that mean that with all those other people that are not qualifying as friends, we shut out? No, because this is the part two. As Mahayanist, our goal to in order to attain enlightenment is that we must accomplish the Bodhisattva path. Which means we have to generate great compassion and loving kindness for all sentient beings. Train our minds with the Lojong, the mind training. Have the realization of the six paramitas, the perfections. And then begin manifesting the attributes of Bodhisattva. Well, this is the only way to complete the total enlightenment. Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. So, for those that may not be suitable for very close friends and be supportive of us on the path, we engage them from the Bodhisattva perspective, which is not preaching Dharma to them. It's not trying to convert them. But what it is to try to, of course, we do Tonglen, always, giving them benefit and taking in their suffering in secret upon ourselves. But it is to use wisdom and skillful means in helping make their existence easier. Remember what I said in the beginning. Environment is always going to be stronger than you. Which means, you know how much time and what kind of situation you can be in where you're able to maintain your practice and your sense of sanity before you slide out and go into the complete mundane behavior. So you try to capitalize on that window. If they want to meet you at a nightclub or a bar and that doesn't suit your practice very well, then maybe recommend meeting someplace far more neutral. Spend the amount of time with them that's appropriate before their influence overpowers you. And while you're engaged with them, be sure to give them all of your attention. Because as a bodhisattva, that is indeed your job. You should not look at these as people to entertain you. You should be looking at them and thinking of ways to make their path easier. So be positive where they want you to be positive. If they want you to wallow with them, you can certainly do that because you understand that samsara does suck. It's horrible. It's an absolutely terrible thing. So you don't want to pretend that everything is great when it's not. So if they want to complain, you give a sympathetic ear. Text told you to do that as being a friend, right? Well, we also do this as bodhisattva. Oh, I know. Yeah, life is totally shitty. I get it. They're angry. You can fully understand. You can relate. And so you should relate. And after relating, you can give a piece of comfort or advice. Again, you're not preaching Dharma. You can say something as simple as, you know, the only thing that gets me through when life really sucks is knowing that none of it is permanent. At some point, this has got to come to pass, no matter how horrible. You always hear about hitting the rock bottom of the well, right? You're at the very deepest part of the well, and the only way is up. Well, sometimes you sit down there for a long time, and you can tell them that. Oh, it's horrible down there. But at some point, it will come to pass, and it's got to go the other way. Is that Dharma? Of course. Does it sound like Dharma? Not if you know how to present it in a skillful way. Right? That's the purpose of skillful means and wisdom. Wisdom is knowing who you can talk to and to what extent can you bring this stuff up. Most people do not want you to say, well, you know, this falls right into the Four Noble Truths, the Shakyamuni Buddha. You start doing that and you're the same as the guy that knocks on your door every Saturday that tries to convert you to another religion. That's horrible. Don't do that. So the wisdom is to understand how not to do that to them. And the skillful means is how to present something that is comforting or that is positive and helpful, beneficial, in a way that won't put them off. Because you're not missionaries. You're not here to make everyone Buddhist. At all. You're just here to help lessen their load. If they come to find Dharma in the Buddhism, that's great. Maybe they don't have the karmic conditioning in this lifetime. That's fine too. Eventually they're going to become a Buddha. They can't stop it. It's like laying on the train tracks. You're at some point, it could be a couple weeks, it could be in 10 minutes, you're going to get run over by a train. Your enlightenment is going to be just like that. You won't be able to stop it. It's going to happen. And recognize that for all sentient beings. So no matter how poor they are behaving or how positively they are behaving, at some point they are going to attain their enlightenment. So you do not have to guide them to that. So this is the two methods to engage people socially. When we're working with close friends, we want them to be confidants and we want them to be supportive of the path. You know, we want it to be mutual. If it's not mutual, that's a teacher-student relationship. Understand that. A mentorship is that person that you can't give a whole lot back to, but you just keep taking everything from. Because, you know, they basically have it together, so to speak. That's a little bit different. They might not be so keen on going and doing things with you all the time. But your friend, we're talking about your close friend, the one that you can complain to, or the one that you can and sit and meditate with, or go to movies, or go out to eat, or whatever. And then for those that no longer fit that, then we practice our bodhisattva skills with them. So I hope that was a helpful explanation on this sutra. to generate this kind of compassion and loving kindness within our minds. Mavalokiteshvara gave us this great Mahakarunadhari.